Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So, assignment from yesterday, how long have you known this thing that needs to be done? What are you doing toward getting it done? Record and listen. Here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, good morning. Hello, this is Paula in Charleston.
Hello, Paula.
Hello. Oh, gosh. I'm doing what needs to be done, which is to call into this show.
Uh-huh.
So it's really, really good to get on. What I'm seeing is, initially when I started doing this assignment, I looked at kind of the broader sense of what needs to be done, and that sense of, you know, I had that, I guess, in the big picture, how to end suffering and how to stop, you know, get out of conditioned mind and recognize the all those. Yesterday I was looking at the what do we call it? The veils that keep us separate from the divine. And I could see how clearly, you know, emotion was really big because of just circumstances and situations in my life over the last month and a half. And so I guess how long have I known it needs to be done? It seems like, you know, a lifetime at some level. And then I look at the more immediate things, and every day there's something else that needs to be done. And so
could I ask about two things there?
Sure, of course.
So one is the emotion aspect. And I'm guessing that part of what you're seeing in that, since you made the connection with ending suffering and conditioned mind, is that there's the emotion that is fueled by beliefs and assumptions, by the story or the conversation in the head.
Yes.
Yeah.
Conversation. I mean, yeah. The hope. That's exactly what it is. This is terrible. How can another thing happen? And how am what am I going to do to help out? And
so the second piece of it that I was really interested in with that is that you've known this for a lifetime, right? And many of us on this call could say that, I would bet, or for a good long time. I mean, we've known for a long time that something needed to be done about something, mostly us and suffering, and yet we put it off, right? Because if the suffering isn't really bad, then we can ignore what needs to be done. Then the suffering gets really bad, and I bet everybody can look back over their life and kind of see these, you know, then the suffering gets really bad. And we realize, you know, I need to take care of this. I need to get to the bottom of this. I need to end this. And then that passes. We go into kind of the what would we call it? a calm period or whatever. A life is normal. Life is normal.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
And the I need to do something about this slides to the back burner. Because it's not really essential now.
Yes, I'm understanding. I think I'm understanding what you're saying, and I see that. Although when I look at my practice, I also see how faithful and how much I come, you know, how much I do practice. So I think, though, what is here's one conditioned thought that I've recognized that I haven't recognized in the past, and that is an assumption that if I practice hard enough and long enough, I will no longer suffer. And so when I do fall into that suffering, I really get beat up. You know, I get told, well, what is, you know, and I recognize this as conditioned mind saying, well, you know, what good is this? At least implying that, you know, it's good because, yeah, it keeps you stable. But, you know, now you're having this kind of crisis, and it's truly a crisis. I think if everyone knew the whole story, there's no question. It's a major crisis. But I recognize this conditioned thought that, okay, I've practiced a long time, and I practice in a very dedicated and devoted way. And yet here I am shaking because I feel so sad about my family's situation. There was just also, after all that they've been through, Sherry, they were hit by the hurricane, and their home is probably destroyed, and they're not able to live in it. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what?
Well, Paula, this is the place where I could sound like a bit of a hard nose or unsympathetic, and I may be a hard nose, but I'm not unsympathetic. But the thing that can happen to us is that we are listening to voices that tell us what our practice is. Okay? And so just the fact that you are, I would say, being set up by the practice that you're doing should sustain you in any circumstances. And then when it doesn't, you're beaten up because the practice didn't support you. Well, that's the place where I'm going to look at not the practice didn't support me, but what was the practice that I was doing? Was I actually doing a practice that life was guiding me to do, or was I making my own decisions about the practice that I would do? And that's a tough place to look. But after years of practice in a situation like this, I think it's a critical place to look. Because what conditioned mind would like you to do, what ego would like to talk you into, is what you have been doing doesn't work. Therefore, you should quit doing that.
Well,
rather than what I have been doing has not been enough, this is my best opportunity to see what I need in order to be able to sustain whatever life brings, and that's what I'm going to practice toward.
Yes, I 100% agree with that, and I have added, you know, like I said, I really am in the muck of it, of looking at, you know, all these, you know, what is truly the cause of this? And
yes.
I'm seeing a lot of that.
And once again, Paula, we circle back to the same place. What is the cause of this? A conversation in conditioned mind. Every single bit of it. And what that conversation for all of us, wherever we are in life and practice, what that conversation is meant to do is separate us from life.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bottom line. Because if we're not separate from life, then what we realize is that anything and everything can happen to anybody and everybody at any time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that it's not a mistake, and that there isn't something wrong.
Right.
Is it painful? Absolutely. Is it heartbreaking? Absolutely. Is it wrong? There's the suffering. And it's that conversation that takes us to that place of suffering.
So is it unrealistic to, I mean, I feel like I recognize that I was carrying this belief in conditioned mind that if I was doing practice right, I wouldn't be feeling the way I'm feeling now.
That's right. That's a good thing to see, isn't it? And now the practice is to let that go, because you see that it is not true. And so it's this critical juncture in practice where, again, ego conditioning would have us say, this is awful. You've been wrong. Your whole life, your whole practice has been wrong. Whatever. Okay? And instead, it's our best opportunity to look at this and say, wow, this is painful. And this is what it is taking to get me unhooked from these false beliefs and assumptions that have been controlling my life. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for this. Thank you for this experience. Do I wish that this would happen? Am I saying, oh, I'm glad this has happened to my family so that I can have this point of awakening? God, no, we're not saying that. But whatever it takes for us to wake up and get out of that, this harsh, but self-pitying loop in conditioned mind, so that we can actually be here and available for everything that it's possible for us to participate in and assist with. If whatever it takes to get us there, it's a good thing.
I do.
All right,
that.
We must move on. And perhaps, on open air next week, we can continue the conversation or something like that. Because we've kind of moved out of the scope of this particular retreat.
Yeah, I hear
all right.
That. Thank you, Sherry.
All right.
Take care.
Thank you, Paula.
Bye.
Take good care. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Paula. You know, what I heard needs to be done, Sherry, is always come back to this year now, that the conversation is always the culprit. And if we're suffering,
always,
as we said yesterday, then we're basically looking to see what the conversation is in order for us to come back to here. And so the belief that the conditional belief of if X, then Y, that if I practice enough, if I work hard enough, if I whatever it is, then I will have, is what keeps us from just continuing to do what we know how to do in order to end suffering.
Yes. Yeah, I hadn't actually made that connection from that. Yeah, that is very helpful. And it is a difficult place to say, people that I love are in a really difficult place and they are suffering as a result of it. And I'm supposed to just be grateful and happy to have seen, to have let go of another piece of conditioning that's causing suffering. We're deeply conditioned that is wrong. We've had this conversation before, that if I really love people and they're suffering, I have to suffer with them. If they're unhappy, I have to be unhappy too. But that's just simply not helpful to anybody, ever.
Yeah, yeah. we did have a whole conversation about it, and it was a brilliant conversation. And the piece I think that you're pointing out also is that the notion in conditioning that we're conditioned to believe that pain is going to end, that things are going to be pain-free for us in our lives.
Yeah.
Because there is a pain inherent in surrendering, not pain, but it's an interesting process. I don't know what the word we would use for that. The crucible of transformation, the process is not an easy one, you know?
Well, and I think what you're pointing at... Oh, excuse me, go ahead.
Well, that was one thought. And just because we understand that we are suffering and ending suffering is a redirect of the attention, there is nothing that says we cannot be compassionate in that process.
Well, yes, and I think it's a confusion between pain and suffering.
Yes.
The Buddha never taught that life would be pain-free, no matter how much we suffer. I mean, how much we practice. Sorry about that. Life continues to be what life is. And there is pain. It's suffering that we don't have to do. The suffering is what happens when we believe that the circumstances of life are wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, that's such a clear way of saying it. Suffering happens when we believe the circumstances of life are wrong, because that's an inherent separation from life.
Precisely.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi there. This is Risa.
Hello, Risa.
Hi. I'm caught off guard, but happy to be here.
Good, good. We're happy to have you here.
Great. So I did do the assignment, but I hopped on the call late. So I was just actually writing down what you were idea of the suffering happens when you believe that the circumstances of life are wrong. What I was looking at with this question of how do you know what needs to be done is what came up was sort of like a two-pronged answer, that it was something that I've known all along and something that just came up. And the thing that I've known all along is the process. Bit, the sort of direction in which I turn to find the guidance, which is a turning to the heart, and then how long have I known it needs to be done is just right then when it drops in.
Aha! Yes, yeah. So before that, it's a theory. Right?
Yeah.
If somebody asked you in a conversation if you knew that, you'd say, yeah, well, of course I know that. But when we're walking around in our lives, we actually don't. And here we have to, you know, italicize it or put it in caps or something. We don't know that until the moment it drops in.
Right, exactly.
That's a beautiful distinction.
I have the map all along.
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
But then... Mm-hmm. I only know to take the turn when I get the direction to take the turn.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there's
a
mess.
Of course, the salient piece of that is you need to be present in order to recognize the turn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. But then it's just like Google Maps, you know, like left, right, straight, continue on, right at the fork.
My favorite is continue to the route.
Yes.
Yeah? So if I knew where the route was, I wouldn't be Googling you. So then you just start driving around until it picks you up and tells you where to go, which, I think we could see a lot of life in that, right? Just keep going. Pay attention. Keep going. and life will drop in the next direction.
Yeah.
Mhm. Yeah. Oh, that's lovely. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Very clear.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was so lovely, Sherry, because what I heard in that is as we practice, the process context is what we internalize. It's, I think, something that someone said that insight needs experience. The more we practice redirecting the attention, the more confident we are that life is going to inform us. And so the more likely it is that life is going to inform us and the more present we're going to be for that information.
Yes. It's very much the conversations we've had. Well, I know it was on Open Air last night. I was talking with Chris about we were looking at writing and how you have to make a date with the intelligence that animates the creativity. You have to make a date, and you have to keep it. You have to show up. You have to. And if we take that out of something as specific as creativity, and apply it to what we were just talking about here, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. But I know that the answer is not going to come in conditioned mind. And so I'm just going to sit down. And I'm just going to sit here. And I'm going to trust that sooner or later, life is going to guide me. Now, at first, 4 hours later, I'm still sitting there. And the voices are just hammering, "What, this isn't working. This isn't working." But I know it'll work. And I just have to be patient for it to show up. And the more I do that, the faster it shows up. Because is life getting any faster? No. I'm getting less involved in the conversation and conditioned mind. I'm getting more here. I'm getting more present. I recognize it sooner.
Yeah.
What fun.
All right. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Paige in Seattle.
Well, hello, Paige.
Hello.
Hi, Ashley. What are you seeing?
Oh, my goodness. I always call this my morning yes. I walk along, and I'm like, yes, exactly, right. I'm just kind of following along. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Which is so completely the case this morning, because, what I came with was, how do I know what to do? What to do for me is what you just said, stay the course, just trust and be still, don't believe the lies.
Show up.
And show up, if it feels hard, one of my mantras is, it is bearable. If it's hard, okay.
Oh, I love it.
It's
because
bearable.
The it that is being pointed at is what conditioning is doing to interpret life for us.
Exactly.
Yeah, because life is always bearable. I mean, it's not even a word that we would apply to life.
Right.
Yeah. But we would definitely apply it to conditioning.
It sounds right. It sounds
bearable.
Negative. But
it is.
Because conditioning
is
would
always,
say, it's not bearable. Do this, do that. Fix it.
Mm-hmm. You can't stand it. It's too awful. It's too horrible.
Yeah.
No.
Be quiet. Sit still. And just stay the course. It's like with meditation. I always think of the counting as in blizzards, they put the rope out to the outhouse. It's a blizzard. It's a whiteout, but they have the rope. And I think of that rope with 10 knots. 10 knots.
Uh-huh.
And I'm counting, and the thoughts are coming, and I go to the next knot, and I go to the next knot, and the rope is there. And that is practice.
Yes.
So
Paige, the blizzard is not your enemy, right? It's not sent to kill you, right? That's the other thing that I get in what you're saying. It's like, it's a blizzard. It's not personal, right?
It's
part of nature. It's what happens.
But
you've got this groovy rope with 10 knots, and so you're not stuck. You're not stranded. You have
I know
support.
What to do. You know what to do. You have everything you need.
And I've set it up for myself.
Yeah, one foot in front of the other, and I hate to say it this way, but here you go.
And it boils down to, it's that simple.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And where people go off course, where we tend to deviate, is when we get into a conversation about the blizzard and how hard it's unbearable. This is wrong. It shouldn't be happening. Oh, my God.
Right.
And that conversation destroys us. It is what is unbearable for many, many people.
Just that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. That's a fun image. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
We've got knots in the rope to the outhouse in the blizzard. We've got Google Maps. We've got it all.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, Paige.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Gosh,
show. Bye.
Gosh, show.
Thanks, Paige. Sherry, we have time for one more caller, so here we go.
All right.
Next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Anna in Yorkshire.
Well, hello there.
Hello. No pressure to have a brilliant image or anything.
right, exactly. Yeah, go ahead. Try to top the knotted rope to the outhouse in the blizzard.
Oh,
you could relate to the outhouse, right?
Yes.
But without the blizzards, we hardly ever need the knotted rope.
I love it, though. I just feel myself, like, feeling my way along it from not as I was listening along, yeah. Yeah, all right. So on the how long have you known it needs to be done, this what I was seeing with this is this big sort of mega bamboozle that I'm really practicing keeping an eye on with lots of reminder recordings to kind of keep, to stay out of it, which is this voice in the head that uses I, that talks about, I know how long this has needed to be done, and I, you know, I've got this. I know when I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it then. And it all has this quality of, I've got this. And what I've been seeing about it is that is what gets me. That's what has got me when I'm listening along and identified with it.
Uh-huh. It's the very simple, you think it's you and you're it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that quality of, I've got this, it's okay. Like everything's all right. I know what needs to be done and when I'm going to do it. And it's all happening in conditioned mind. And it's all like this pretend, like, middle person in between the thing that's dropped in and doing it, as if that threshold, as if that place exists, right?
Wow. That is the residence of the bamboozle, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. And it's the way you're presenting it, it's so comforting.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, don't worry about just go back to sleep. Don't worry. I've got this. It's okay. Okay. I just brought this right into the house of bamboozle. And I'm gonna make sure everything happens for you.
Yes.
Oof.
Oh, creepy.
That is creepy.
Yeah, it's so, like, calmly composed, creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Well, if you had a real person saying that to you, you'd be running. We all would be trying to get as far away from that person as possible. You know, you can just see they're sort of patting your arm and looking deeply and meaningful into your eyes and saying, "Don't worry about anything. I'm gonna take care of everything for you. Don't. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You are getting very sleepy.
Yes.
That's really helpful to see that that it's a it's the reverse of the middle way.
Yes.
Right. It's a faux land between.
Yeah.
Yeah, what is so, and the authentic human being who lives in life that is so.
Yes, exactly. And the more it builds, the more it seems real, that it's a real place, like this mm-hmm. threshold between something dropping in and doing it, and it doesn't. It only exists in that.
Well, yeah, and it's a helpful picture because growing up is the creation of that residence in that land.
Uh-huh.
Right? As we put social conditioning with egocentric karmic conditioning, as we are figuring it out and becoming who we are and establishing those beliefs and assumptions, we are, it's not populating, but it's developing mm-hmm. that false land and that mm-hmm. place that we're going to live in that false land. And then yeah. once we move in, we deeply believe that all of that is true and real, and that's who we are.
Yes.
Mm.
Mm. And we have a rope out.
Right. That's right. That is exactly
with
right.
Nuts in
and
it.
That's what practice is, right?
Yeah.
That's so beautiful because it's, one of the Buddha's images, supposedly, is that karma is like knots in a very long silk scarf, right? Mm. And when we get to that point where we can't tie another knot in that scarf, we begin a process of untying the knots. And so that's what practice, we find that first knot. Now that doesn't work very well with the image of the blizzard and the outhouse, but finding that knot, and then we could say following those knots, undoing each one of them on our way to freedom.
Mm.
Oh, I love, we've had many, many very fun images this morning, afternoon, evening, wherever a person is.
Oh, I wish you could see the sky that I'm looking at. It's so beautiful, this like late afternoon, cold, bright light.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, just to make you a little homesick for home, it's a beautiful day here, too.
As I started saying that, I thought, you're going to be looking at a wonderful sky, too. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Anna.
Oh, well, thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Anna. And, Cherry, that brings us to the end of the show. Our assignment for today, how are you stopped from getting it done?
Mm. Mm. We have a lot of images to apply to that as we explore.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you, Ashwini, and thank you, everybody.
Thank you very much for a wonderful show, and talk to everyone tomorrow.
Yeah. Go happy.
Go happy.